Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. Matson. Of course, she is now on tour, and she's been running around the whole circuit of the United States. She is now heading into Philadelphia, I believe, on October 9th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and she's going to be at the Fire. And then October 10th, she will be at the Weatherly on a private affair. Well, it's a private affair. And then, she's going to be in North Carolina, Winston-Salem, at the Garage on October 12th. And October 15th, she will be in Nashville, Tennessee, at Betty's Grill, lovely town. And one of my favorite towns in the United States, she is heading back up, or back down south further, into New Orleans. And she'll be at the Neutral Ground, and that's on October 19th. And then heading back to Tennessee, to Memphis, she'll be at Escape Alley. And then on October 23rd, she'll be at Shreveport, Louisiana, at Jane Mary's on the Cross Lake. And then she heads on down to Texas, 1024, on October 24th. She'll be in Houston, Texas, at the Chances Bar. And then she heads into Austin, Texas at Mumbles on October 25th. And further updates, you can check out on what I have listed for her scheduling. Also go to AngieMatson.com. If you go there, you'll also see connections for accessing her latest LP, Skeleton's Arm, and also her... You can download individual songs, iTunes, whatever. Do check her out. She was also a past guest, if you ever want to listen to her, on a show I did an interview of her back in November 13th of last year. So do check her out. And, of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly, and this illustrious day of October 8th, 2010. Wow, a lot of stuff going on around. God, sort of going around, coming around. Must be those times. But speaking of which, going around, I am still embarking on my sighting tour in the regional tour of Southern California and Nevada. And I, with regards to spirit, those who are wondering about going out of body, this is a novel I'm sure you'll enjoy. I want to thank all the reviewers out there who have been giving me reviews. You can check my book directly at andrewspirit.com. Of course, it's also listed on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and et cetera, but they have listing there, and you can check that out. But I am doing some more. I have some more signing events coming through October. And on October 16th, I'm really, really happy to do this. It's on Saturday, October 16th. I believe there is also part of a foundation helping. I don't know what they didn't tell me what foundation or helping, but I would like to help. But anyway, October 16th from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Barnes & Noble. And this is in Oceanside, California at 2615 Vista Way. Again, that's Oceanside, California. and that's October 16th. I look forward to that. I love Oceanside. And then I'm heading back to Las Vegas. And on Saturday, October 23rd, I will be at 6848 West Charleston in Las Vegas. It's a heading towards Summerlin at Psychic Eye Bookstore. And then the following Saturday, I'll still be in the Las Vegas area. I will be heading to Henderson. And I will be at Barnes & Noble 567 North Stephanie. And I'll be there at 2 p.m. And that's on October 30th. That's also a Saturday. And I look forward to these events. I always loved going to doing, book signing events and meeting new people and hearing what they have to say. It's always fascinating. And then on my show here, I feel very honored. I have a very, very special guest. His name is Giorgio Tsokalos. You may have seen him several times on the History Channel. In fact, he had a series called, Ancient Astronauts, which dealt into the ancient areas of our previous civilizations or whatever that have encountered extraterrestrials and UFOs and et cetera. He is almost like Indiana Jones of it. I'm just finished. He's also the rep and co-worker with Van Daniken, who, of course, you know, who wrote, the book Chariot of the Gods. Now, they just recently came out with a new book, co-authored and co-edited, called Twilight of the Gods, and it is a fascinating book. It basically enters in the area of the Mayan calendar, of what the real reality of the Mayan calendar, but also other aspects as well, which is quite fascinating, as about what extraterrestrials were, where they were, and if they are coming back, and if they're already here. It's a very fascinating book. You should check it out. I'm almost done with it. Everybody keeps on taking it from me when they see me, and I read chunks of it, and then after I fight to get it back. So, anyway, do read it or check it out. And on, like I said, October 22nd, circle your calendar. That will be a very enlightening show. Like I said, I feel very honored. And do check out on Spouse. I mean, you can check out his videos of YouTube or whatever. When he was on the History Channel, I mean, he had a laid out series. And in fact, he did a very fascinating thing. I remember about the lights within some of the tombs that you go down below, that the Egyptians actually had electricity, which is, had electric bulbs, and everybody thought they were lotus symbols. And, you know, just see it, just, it's very fascinating. Eye lifting and eye opening with no BS. So, and I'll just stay here. Sort of feel a little tired, feel up and down. It's been a really weird week today. Must be changes of the energy around the air. I feel that pretty much, that things are changing. And sometimes when changing, you get these, like, sleepiness. You feel tired, rubbing your eyes. Maybe it's getting close to winter or fall. I guess because I'm a fire sign, when it gets short of winter, you just want to... areas. But anyway, by the way, I want to thank everybody for listening. Healthcare reform in the U.S. You know, everybody goes, oh my God, we finally got healthcare, and all the elections are coming around, and, you know, they don't talk about it because basically it's pure bullshit. You know, in the United States, they promised us a real healthcare reform that they're going to employ. That's why Obama got elected. Why he got elected, what assumed he got elected, and all the Democrats. They were going to have a public option where we can opt into their system, like the senators, what they get, and the congressmen get. But instead, we got a bullshit healthcare reform, and they stamped it with a name, thinking that you are stupid. But did you ever realize, ask anybody who has a precondition, they're rejected if they ever get insurance. The only way they can get insurance, if they go work for somebody, they get pulled in or grandfathered in. If you are individual, you can forget it. You are rejected for a precondition. And this condition, their system, the Reform Act, does not go into existence for 4 years, till 2014. So what do you tell those who can't have insurance? Go ahead and die? Is that their real aim? Or just be a worker slave? Is that the other aim? You see, the Democrats and the Republicans, like I always said, are one of the same. The same crap on the same coin, but on different sides of this Illuminati coin. So wake up, America. Look at what's really going on and see what these elections are. Who are you really voting for? You're voting for the same bullshit, either side. Maybe we all need a right none of the above, period. Maybe some things have to be really said. Maybe things have to be really done. Maybe things have to be demonstrated. Maybe things have to get a little bit worse. Or maybe we have to turn the coin, so to speak, on them. Them. Because it's a fucking game and they think you're stupid. And we're not. Some of us have just haven't woken up yet. Some of us have woken up and don't know what to do. So anyway, I'm going to get into another issue because it relates into our aspects of what we do. And those are called challenges and people I've encountered and, you know, myself included, everybody, you know everybody who is in an embodiment has got into what I call challenge. People use the word problems. I don't like to say utilize the word problem because the problem is more, and getting into another issue is projecting a negative connotation to a situation. No things are really problems. They're only solutions to the challenges. It's better to look at it as a challenge. All things are really in reality challenges. And then though we do try to make plans for certain things. There's an old Israeli and Arab saying, sort of funny, they have similar sayings and they fight amongst themselves. But they had a saying that says, God makes a fool of those who make plans. What does that mean? Sort of rude, but sort of making a joke about when you try to assume something that you're going to plan something, some things in the universe sort of like make a joke about it. I mean, you just can't they'll sit around and not make a plan, but you have to sort of laugh at it because when it doesn't happen, that's part of life. That's the uncertainty. That's sort of the surprise. In fact, otherwise, wouldn't it be sort of boring if you just laid out a whole plan and went through it? I mean, you'd already know the results, now wouldn't you? So there are reasons for these uncertainties, and that's what these uncertainties are, these challenges. And that's what I'm getting into. You know, it's amazing. In our, I know they did studies and many times they say, what is the greatest fear to people? And most things the statisticians will point to that people fear public speaking more than death. But you know what? They probably never put on that questionnaire. And I think that is the greatest fear amongst most people. And it's uncertainty. And I think that's really what it is. People are more fearful of uncertainty because they don't know what to expect. They get a little paranoid. They get worried. And that paranoia, that fear is a lot of times played upon them by people manipulating them, like those in power or those who think they're in power or those people like the Illuminati or those people who think they're politicians or kings or presidents or prime ministers or congressmen or whatever, or even people who blog and people who make little spiels to hate them, fear them. They create this, they play upon your uncertainties. Get it? That's what they're doing. And that's what that issue is. They're just playing upon the uncertainties. And the uncertainties bring up certain challenges. And this is another thing. People fearful of those challenges, and part of that challenge, why you have a fear, is to walk through that fear, which is that challenge. I mean, look at today with the economic uncertainty. The economics of today is a challenge. And why are these circumstances of a challenge today? They have many reasons for those, particularly pertaining upon individual or collective on humanity or areas and regions. These all have certain issues. These are challenges that need to be, they're more like opportunities. these many challenges even include such as health situations. If your health is affecting you, whether it's life-threatening or very serious, these in reality are just challenges to be overcome. You may have even challenges in relationships. Relationships between your father, your mother, your sister, so on, your lover, so-and-so, your neighbor, whatever soul that's near you, a relationship, or even soul distance you, or relationships on a collective, people versus people, if I can say it that way, thus them, those challenges, how the relationships, and of course, as I mentioned, the economics, because they sometimes interrelate, and the political challenges, such as what the situations we are in, sometimes are fabricated to play upon us, these challenges to wake up. If we don't wake up, for example, we haven't learned our lesson, which is gets into what the meat behind of the challenges are. National disasters is another aspect, our physical, the earthquakes, the floods, Haiti, those who are directly affected and those outside affected. How those, what we do about it, what happens to those who are directly affected to it, their immediate challenge. And there is, you know, which I'll get into, but ultimately all these challenges in reality are just spiritual challenges. In reality, there's nothing really negative about them. There's no such thing as really positive, too, to tell you the truth. If you look even to the most evil thing or most positive thing in the world and the universe is actually perfect. We are in our own perspective, assume with our perspective what is dark or what's light. But in reality of the universe, which is perfect, there is no difference. We just look upon it, and it's okay, because that's what makes us individual. But then we have to realize what these are only challenges, and this is based upon our experiences and our challenges of each and every moment. You know, in the story of Job, this goes into the Bible, he was deprived, you know, to the point of, you know, how many years or whatever. And some people, a lot of clerics, keep on pointing out to his faith. And because they do that, because they're trying to sway you to, you know, believe in God and believe in their way and da-da-da-da-da-da. But he never really gets into that. If you read the parable of that story, that has nothing to do about his faith in God. I mean, look what he did. He realizes it has nothing to do with his faith in God, because that's thinking God's outside of him. What was the real situation with Job? He, and this is everybody, is lives in the life of Job. It's faith and belief in himself. Every situation is believing in yourself, no matter how bad it is or how good it is. It's believing in yourself, ultimately learning to heal. He could have millions and millions of dollars and see all the material things, and his spiritual growth, his spiritual avenues have not grown one iota. He hadn't been able to challenge him, so ultimately everything was shipped away from him materially. He suffered the worst thing you can think of. Everything around him, his family, yada da 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 da. Did not faith to have faith in himself and in the universe, which is God, but it's one. It's the same. It's togetherness. But he had to have faith in himself before even he has faith in God. Because if he doesn't have faith in himself, how can he ever have faith in the universe? And faith, by the way, just means you trust the universe, and trust means you feel the establishment and the connection of the universe. Trust is, there is no fear. It removes the fear factor because you know it's there. Now, this was definitely an opportunity for him to grow and to learn and to understand himself and the universe, hence his understanding of God. And that is the ultimate thing, is the understanding of God, the understanding of the universe, one and the same, the understanding of himself. All three follow under the God. Anyway, now these challenges are often repeated, and they're for a good reason. They're often repeated because the reason is you. You're the reason these challenges keep on happening. Now, we come into these embodiments for a reason. actually two reasons. But we come into these bodies to heal. Heal from our past karma and to experience and to grow. That's it. Anybody can tell you, make a whole bunch of shit up, but why are you in this body? Why do you keep on going back and forth, round and round, Robin, all the time? Experience. The universe, I said, is perfect. So you're actually experiencing your soul, having experiences. And you take those experiences with you. And part of those experiences is, when I say healing, is actually raising your vibration. And of course, you're karmically, if you do something negative and you don't learn your lesson, you keep your vibration the same or even lower it. So the whole point is to raise your vibration. You probably hear this all the time. Raise your frequency, raise it, and make yourself healing. So that's what the challenges give us the opportunity for. And these challenges are our own making. They're our co-creation, meaning either of us, before our incarnate in these bodies, or even after, and or the universe, or both us and the universe are co-creating this. And I'll explain that in a little bit. But let me get back to the first of the challenges before I get into that explanation. I know I'll be jumping off tangent if I start explaining that. What happens when we are faced with a challenge? What happens? We're given a choice. We always have a choice, right? No matter, even if you choose not to choose, that's a choice. You always have a choice. So that is the whole point of your challenge. It's this choice that determines what reasoning is behind the challenge. Because the challenge in itself, and I've sort of hinted before, is a lesson. So ultimately, what you choose to endeavor within this challenge, this lesson, is ultimately what you've learned, experienced, and healed from this lesson, this challenge. In other words, these challenges are opportunities. As my late teacher, Jenny St. Clair, once said, challenges are opportunities to grow, to heal. So challenges being that they're opportunities to learn, to grow, and most of all, heal. And these opportunities are lessons. The opportunities of lessons that we have signed up in this lifetime. And that is the reality. What we do with these opportunities, these lessons, is the real question offered, answered. You may have heard me say in the past, like using the same sentence, it's nothing, other people have said it, for every action there's a reaction. This is the same for your challenge, your opportunity, your lesson. So, in meeting your challenge, your lesson, there comes a reaction to it. And it has very much a lot of variables in it. The reaction from your lesson, by what makes up your choice within that challenge, creates another lesson, another opportunity to grow. Unless you haven't, let's say you meet up a challenge and you do the same crap all over, you need to do the same thing over again. Well, guess what? You have just now created a situation where you're going to end up re-entering that challenge because you never learned your lesson. That's called karma. We've often heard of the karma. That's what karma is. And sometimes we meet that karma within our own lifetime. Sometimes we meet it the next lifetime or several lifetimes. Sometimes people are co-karmically connected. We've heard that. So they co-karmically have that lesson. You'll often find that people's, when they interact, and not just individuals, but collectively have co-karma situations with themselves. You know, that's when it gets into masses, people, and the relationships, what's going on, the hate toward one people's to another people's and back and forth. Those are challenges, opportunity to grow. And what they do with that is another thing. If somebody straps on a bomb and preaches to kill or incitement, how much of a lesson have they learned? What kind of karma is behind that? And by the way, karma is also found within the Kabbalah. It's called tikkun. Tikkun literally means to fix, to correct. So sometimes, though, like I said, we'll repeat these. And if we didn't learn it the last time, we're often, by our own choices, going to have to repeat those. By our own choice. This is what I mean, and I've often said, that there are no victims, only volunteers. And this is, of course, also my past teacher, Jenny Sinclair, had often said. And everybody gets all cringed over when I say that. I know that. Because when I say about somebody being raped or someone murdered and poor me syndromes, in reality, in this perfect universe, that was co-creation of that experience. It sounds really harsh and almost like Nietzsche, very existential, but in reality, it is. In reality, we are co-creating amongst ourselves. And we choose these endeavors in these lifetimes, these patterns, to give us opportunity to grow. Give you an example, how hard things could possibly be. A young girl gets raped. In her coming into this embodiment, that karmic experience, she may have be the raper in a past life. I'm just giving you a hypothetical now. So now she has to experience being the rapee. And how is she going to find and deal with that? She can deal with anger now, hate guys, take drugs, become a prostitute of the lowest kind. Or is she going to grow from it in a spiritual manner and learning to become above that? See, because that same situation, how negative and negative and negative was, gave the opportunity to what to deal with it, even as bad as it was. A person who grows up, let's say he's a person of color, let's say he's black, African American, and grows up in South Central with the worst situation. He doesn't even know who his father is. His mother's a crack addict whore that's just on the street. His best friends pull him into go join a gang. Does he join the gang and become a killer and sell drugs, the same drugs that his mother took? Or does he take another route? And things may be harsh. These are the changes. There's no victims, only volunteers. If your circumstances living in Lebanon, for example, and you have people constantly around you telling they hate people, things are happening violently, whatever situation, saying whether it's the Israelis, the Christians, or Muslims, or Shiite, or Sunni, for example, whatever, you have that choice not to be a victim, but because you can choose to meet with that situation in a different response, in a more loving response. If you choose to hate and choose to go that route and choose to be arming yourself and choose wanting to kill over a hypothetical assumption that there is a land or situation, that is not going toward the positive. You have not learned your lesson. You have not overcome the challenge, so you're going to end up repeating it. That is what it means. And it seems the other way around, too. Because for each person in a relationship, there's a meeting challenge, a karmic experience. And that's what I meant by no matter how harsh certain situations are. Now, also, like I pointed out, to say that there is a problem makes one to manifest, and this gives an idea of manifestation, is in itself creating a negativity of the situation. That's why I don't like utilizing the word problem. So to say it's a lesson in itself creates a manifestation of the solution, that being of the experience. Because in reality, it's just an experience. Everything's all experiences. Even when I'm telling you these are lessons, they're really just straight up experiences, but because we have the variable of choosing and creating our choices, what we do with those experiences create a situation which is another experience. And out of that experience is cause of what I just said. For every action, there's a reaction. So it's a reaction of the experience that you just had creates another reaction and another reaction. It's almost like a pinball effect, no matter how you can say it. So it's a manifestation of that. I know I'm sounding sort of strange talking about like in this way, but it might sound too far of quantum physical or too out there, but that's really what it is. The lesson creates a manifestation of the solution, that being the experience. So in reality, which we are in the reality of our perfect universe, there is absolutely nothing, like I said, positive or negative. Again, these are only our perceptions, our perspectives, not the universe's reality. Reason why light and dark are of the same coin. In reality, they're both the same. They're both part of the universe. It's our reflection. We visualize light, we visualize dark. What are we doing? We're visualizing in our perspectives. So for example, let's say you're a human, and maybe something comes over here, alien. I'm just going to say it because I want to put fear, but let's say something negative. That sounds negative, and it's going to eat you up. In your eye, he would be, or it would be, evil, because it wants to eat you up, swallow you up, and pull. But in reality, in the universe, it's perfect, because that's what it is. It's like the predator and the prey. That's what they are. So you cannot judge and say they're evil or they're not, but you would, because you're going to say it because it's your perspective. But in reality, there is none. So it's our perspectives which create our path to which we wander upon. And when we see things that we assume that it's our path, so we walk upon those paths, we wander upon it. And that's fine. That's part of our experience. In this perfect universe, there is no victim, like I said. There is suffering, because suffering comes out of perspective. You may be suffering, but somebody might be laughing. Put it a different way. A disease, let's say there is the virus, let's say AIDS, is in your system. And it's eating you up, or your loved one. You're suffering, but is the virus suffering? He's a happy camper. He's eating up that body up, right? In their reality, in their perspective, the virus is all a happy camper. See, it's all a matter of whose perspective. It's all a matter of whose eyes. That is the problem a lot of times in the universe we have in humanity. To somebody's hero, if somebody's terrorist, somebody's, you know, defending themselves, they call themselves attackers. And then somebody's attacking is a terrorist. And then somebody who defended themselves against the terrorists are now called, they're using too much force. See, it's all in perspective. Everybody makes up their own perspective. And the same thing when they say things back and forth. It's in their perspectives. We're sounding off a tangent here. But in reality, like I said, it's all in your eyes what is suffering. When you exercise or you work really hard physically to the extent that you feel pain, and you feel, oh man, I feel that pain. This is your experience. You're feeling that pain. So it is in this pain, this feeling that you're experiencing. And so it is the same within your challenge and in your lesson. You will have an experience that is part of it. You are experiencing your lesson. You are experiencing your challenge. You're going to feel and have perceptions upon that experience. And some of these perspectives are based upon your past experiences, and you make choices upon those experiences. Therefore, you assume new choices and create new choices. And your choices create manifestations, which is another choice. In reality, you're having an experience. And these experiences tend to change and uplift whatever your vibrational frequency is, because it's bent to mind on the direction. So it's like the choice that gives the splendor of opportunity to heal and to learn and again experience. When you die, what do you take with you? When you're shoved in that little hole in the ground, you don't take your car with you. You don't take your home with you. You don't take your jewels, your clothes. There's only one simple thing that you take with you. Your experiences. That's it. Your experiences, all that you ever take with you. Now, some things in our past lives, or present ones, that we have not learned yet or healed from, eventually become our new challenges, our new lessons. These ultimately are from our choices and ultimately become our new choices because we chose them. The universe, which I said is perfect, provides us these tools, these opportunities to heal, to grow. The universe provides us with senses and perspectives to inquire and experience these. This is what is great. When we have eyes to see and ears to hear and touch and feel and taste, and feel, and of course that's limiting because there's so many other areas, our senses, these are tools of our experience. These are tools that allow us the opportunities to grow and to heal and to judge and make our own judgments, because we're always judging. Judging is part of our perspective. When you see something, you'll either, oh, I love that, I don't like it. You're constantly initiating a judgment in your perspective. So what are these lessons? If you, in your past, you move on, have you learned from this lesson? Then you can move on. It's like you take a test and you do really well on it. You do so well on that test. Do you need to take the lesson again? No, you'll probably move further on. Now what happens if you get a lesson and another lesson and you don't pass? You keep on failing. What happens then? You're sent back to the same grade over and over. And this is basically a lot with humanity. Why people go, how come we haven't changed? Because you haven't passed the lesson. You're still doing the same thing. People wonder why things haven't changed or something go over and over again. Or the life is like a merry-go-round and yada-da, and the circumstances, because you haven't learned the lesson. Same thing with humanity. Why do we have the same living like a prison planet, fighting over some bullshit name, we'll make up a god, or, you know, my god better than your god, or we'll draw up lines and say, this is my land, no, that's my land, I lived here first, no, you lived here first. It's all bullshit. Because we haven't learned the lesson. So we will repeat it until we get it. If we don't learn to love each other, which is the ultimate lesson, or simple lesson, and you learn to love, that's why it's so important to love, then you grow, you heal, you move up. You hate, you go backward. You go back to school, buddy. So if you pass, you move on forward. Life is about lessons and challenges and experiences. Some things are taking away from you to make you feel to reinforce your circumstances of faith. Like I said, if all the money around you is removed from you, you had all the money and you had this big old home and now it's foreclosed, and then you had life insurance, your insurance and your health insurance taken away, and this is taken away, and that's taken away. all your material things are taken away from you. Look out for what that lesson is. If you're just running around on the outside trying, and I understand you're going to be trying to still survive. It's important to try to survive, obviously. But if you sit back for a moment, I mean, you have to have a moment. If you run around scattered, you're never going to learn the lesson. And look and contemplate what that lesson has to entail. You'll never understand the lesson. It's like trying to answer the question and you haven't read the whole question yet. It's like reading, you know how there's tests where they tell a whole paragraph and then there's a question about what's happened in the story within the paragraph. Well, a lot of people just jump to the question. They haven't read the whole damn paragraph. And then they get it wrong again. So guess what? Teacher tears up that thing and says, you got an F. You go back and take it again. And again, it's like your driver's license. If you don't pass your driver's license, what happens? You can't drive. Or it's the same thing in life. If you don't pass, it's because you made the wrong choice. And the choice in the lesson is in front of you. It's so simple. The choice is in the question of the answer. It's not that difficult as far as what to do. It's actually going to do it seems is the difficulty. It seems to be difficult. It's difficult to go through the experience because it's sort of suffering and hard. Some people go through what they call merry-go-rounds. I mean, I've met, you know, I'll give you an example. And then it pertains to me, you know. I'll bring in my own shit. I know people from the past. For example, somebody I know I haven't seen in 13 years. And this person was pretty malicious, got jealous of somebody who I was very close in a relationship with. And it got pretty ugly. And the person never really grew. And I cut them off, had nothing to do with them. Period. Adios. 13 years goes by. Out of the blue. Found me through whatever. Through the internet. And contacted me. And, you know, in back of my mind, I said, you know what? I'm going to give the person another chance. Well, this person never really ran about, never really said sorry. But still, I tried to be good and said, okay, you know what? I'm still going to give this person a chance. So this person got into my life, and we worked on different thing, a project, for example. And this person doing this project started acting the same way and doing the same things 13 years ago. And doing the same things. And this same person, which is surprised me, should have told me it was my, you know, it was my lesson too, was living the same way. She was basically living in a little box. She had like the same place 13 years ago that she's living in was literally like not even a garage with nothing. And after 13 years, still the same, in fact, worse. She was like living off people financially, borrowing from this person, this person supporting them. It was the same thing over and over again. And not just that, it was the same reaction, way this person would act like toward other people. And I start seeing in my own eyes that this person hasn't grown. And here I was involved with a project. And I consistently gave the person an opportunity to see if they would grow. And we made an agreement what we would say in front of people that person actually wanted me to say, and she lied. She went around and said something else. So even when you have relationships with people, it's called the merry-go-round effect. That was my sort of lesson. They go around, come back to certain people, all karma, and deal with it finally and put it to bed. Maybe my second chance that I gave with this person was also my opportunity to put things to karmically for this person to to where I felt. And it was ironic because this person, then I never really cut them off. They cut me off because they got jealous of the business relationship I was doing with somebody else. And I didn't want to partake into their any further business with them. And they took that personally. That's the person also used to get jealous of any other female friends I had. And it was like it was in the past, and it was not like that in the present. So I'm saying it was also my fault. It was my fault because I had to learn to take that lesson. But it's the same merry-go-round when you see people in your own circumstances doing the same thing. Oh, you know, you meet people after years and they haven't grown or changed. You know, for those people who are younger in their 20s, you haven't seen that yet. Wait till you're in your 40s and 50s, and then you see the same person 20 years ago, and you're going, my God, they're still the same. And yet, you know what? I've seen people who I'm really surprised, haven't seen in 10, 12 years, 13 years, and they went leaped and bounds and changed. And some people I've met I haven't seen in years, and they actually went backwards. That tells you the opportunities and challenges and lessons, the experiences of what people have passed the lesson or passed the test, have moved up themselves spiritually or reversed themselves. You know, when you see the old man or the old woman all hateful and angry and all that, did they really grow? Or if they become loving and enlightened and happy and full of joy, no matter what life circumstance or whatever through, didn't you see, wow, look at them. They went through heaven and hell, up and down, and they got a smile on their face full of joy. Did they pass the test? Some people always, I've met people who talk about experiences, you know, of happiness, and they're trying to go through that karmic change of happiness, and they go through sadness. And they're trying to grab on happiness like it's some toy rather than being joy. Part of being joy is being. Just being. Your illness is another challenge, too. I've seen people who have illness. I've had illness. Everybody's had illnesses. Some serious, some not so serious. Some life are threatening, some basically it is deadly, or does something that limits you completely. That's a challenge. Politics, challenge. What's happening in Europe, the devastation, the trauma, them versus us. Challenges. Is it meeting with love or hate, division or love? Individually, what is really happening on that political scale within the systems, within economics, with everything, spiritually, everything, is it done toward the light of love? And I'm using perspectives. Is it increasing, let's put this, is it increasing your frequency of love? Is it making the experience of joy or anger? Hate, division. Same thing in the Middle East. Is it joy? Is it walking to a brother across and say, hey, let's make peace? No matter what, we'll sit down at a table and talk. No preconditions. Let's just sit down, brother and brother, break the bread and talk. Or do we have to precondition it's my way or the highway? Or act like little brats and then go, gee, I don't know why there's more crime, more hatred. Throwing rockets help, throwing bombs that make it very loving, teaching your kids that, oh, I hate to hate them, look what they did to you, whether true or not true, is that healing? Is that going over the challenge, or is that not meeting the challenge? Is it maybe fearful to actually love? Is that in itself a challenge? Look in Latin America, the same situation. In Mexico, for example, the haves and have-nots, the crime, people trying to cross the border just to have make a living. And then there's those who are coming across the border with drugs and part of the cartel and all that, and then kill everybody who's in there. What's the challenge in that? What is the lesson in that? These are questions I was asking. Is it loving? Is it helpful? They themselves have karma to deal with, too. And there's always going to be different situations. How do we deal with that? You don't have to say, oh, kumbaya, I love you, even though they're going to shoot me. You've got to have some, how would you deal with it? You have to defend yourself, right? These are part of the lessons. These are part of the experiences. In Africa, bad things are happening there. What is the karmic thing of it? Do you think that that soul is repeating itself in Africa, or has it just went from one place to another or another circumstance? The harshness that happens in Sudan or Darfur, or the hatred that has been going on, the killing, the murder, the rape. How about the world's eye be closing its eye to it? How about in China, the Tibet? The karmic effects and the challenge of those situations. How about the individual within that system? How about the individual, what was it, back in the Tiananmen Square, and I posted it on my Facebook, stood in front of a tank, a row of tanks, and said, I'm not moving. What was his lesson in that? What was his experience? He stood up. He walked through a fear. He said, enough is enough. Let's say, what would happen, and I'm just going to throw this out, what would happen if in the Middle East you had both Jews and Muslims going hand in hand and walking into Gaza and saying no more fighting and saying projecting love and compassion in Gaza and the West Bank and Israel, that they're brothers, and saying, you know what, we don't want to hear anything from any more Hamas, you're fucking out of there. Hezbollah, you're a gone, adios in Lebanon. You say the same thing, Fatah. You say the same thing with Likud. Same thing to all the fucking parties on both Israeli, Arab, whatever. Gone. All the leaders gone, and the people sit down amongst themselves and break bread. Make hummus. Make a bunch of falafel together. What would happen? You think people would be hating each other? No. That's what I said. These are circumstances that there are lessons that we could do. Every challenge, every opportunity, we have an opportunity to change. Ultimately, people, I've had guests, in fact, one of my best shows I've ever had was with Simona Lewis, and she talked about the Illuminati. And amazingly, she says, these are how these people are, and who they are, what they are. And how your reaction when you find out, when you wake up and you find out, wow, these people really are controlling everything. They're controlling the Obamas and the Europeans and between the Arabs and Israelis. They've infiltrated the Masons. They infiltrated Jewish organizations. They infiltrated the Muslims. They're infiltrated everywhere. Oh my, they're like a damn cancer. What's your reaction? Do you hate? Let's have a revolution and blood in the street, which could possibly come out eventually. But another way is love. What is our meaning? What is our choices out of these things? You know, when we die, we still come back another lifetime. So we get it right, as they say, the karma de tikkun. Some of us have actually come into these embodiments as wanderers from what they call star souls, which I don't want to get into now, because we've maybe lived here many lifetimes, but only have just woken up to deal with certain situations and open up to tell other souls that originate from this more, I call it, realm or whatever, to make things opened up. And their challenges themselves of dealing with it. What about the challenge of when you're saying, hey, there's a door, and somebody runs into the wall, and you go, no, there's a door, you go through the door, and they still run through the wall. What about that challenge? or that lesson or that opportunity to learn and to grow. What about the situations with your parents, your kids, your children, your brothers, your sisters, your lovers, your friends? The challenges with your bosses, your coworkers, your neighbors, the person you're driving on the street, the guy who cuts you off and flips you off as fuck you, the IRS who just seizes your money out of your bank accounts maliciously, the DA who goes after you because it is. You never did anything wrong, but they fabricate the evidence. You're thrown in jail and locked in there, fabrication. 20 years later, you come out, they find out the DNA that you were innocent. 20 years of your life, do you project anger? You're 13 years old, 13-year-old little girl, and you're raped by a director. Given drugs or drinking, do you hate the individual for what he did to you? Or do you learn to grow from it? This is the questions. These are the circumstances. This is what I mean by every challenge. Every challenge is a lesson. Every lesson is an opportunity. Every opportunity is a chance to heal. Each chance to heal is an experience. Each experience is a joy of healing. See, we have lessons to grow, to heal, to healing our experiences. Like I said, we have these opportunities. Life is about experiences, they say. Life is about growing, they say. When I say they say, who are they? So when you meet something that is very harmful, very painful, feeling the suffering, or even joy, either or, there is choices in that challenge, that lesson. And that's what I meant. This is your opportunity to grow. What you do with that situation, that challenge, that circumstances, creates a new opportunity based upon your choice. Or did you fail that test? Do you go backward or you go forward? Does your vibration go up or backward? Again, the universe is perfect. So I'm going to repeat. Every challenge is a lesson. Every lesson is an opportunity. Each and every opportunity is a chance to heal. Each chance to heal is an experience. Each experience is in itself the joy of being. And the being is you. You are the experience. So with that, I want to thank you all for listening. The different type of show that I've done, I haven't done in a while. And I wish you all the best. God bless you all. And I'm going to end up closing again with Taste of Sunday Paper by Angie Matson. Do check her out, angiematson.com. And with that, God bless you and have a glorious weekend. And I'll catch you on the other side. God bless you all. Love and light. Thank you.
Let's face it, Sunday paper, you rig the races. Gotta hand it to you. You deliver right to the front door. I never should have left it swinging open. You.